It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Here we go. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Wes Moss here with Luke Moss, Ryan Ely. It's our whole Money Matters crew here on a Sunday morning. Good morning. It's kind of a rainy day today. Rainy today, high 69. Tonight, mostly cloudy, few thunderstorms, low 53. Tomorrow, 60% chance of rain, high 68, low 55. And there's so much to talk about. This in a week. Dow Jones up 0.5%. So we've broken a multi-week losing streak. Finally, in the green, after all of the continued geopolitical worries around the world. North Korea continues to be in the headlines. China, you name it. Russia. And here we are with markets actually bouncing back a little bit. So up 0.5% for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Up a little bit more than that. Call it 0.8 for the S&P 500, and then about 1.8%, bigger move for the NASDAQ for just the week. So far for the year, the Dow is up 3.9%, data check. S&P 500 up 4.9% for the year. And there's a lot to talk about here today on the Money Matters. I know it's a rainy day. It's one of those days where you might want to snuggle in or nestle in and listen to radio here on WSB. And there's so many things to talk about today. I have six or seven main topics. We did a lot of writing this week. It was one of those weeks where we just started. Every time I'd write an article, I think, oh, we need to write about this. And then we need to write about that. We need to write about, and today talk about, the difference between active and passive mutual funds or active and passive investing, because there's been a swirl of articles around this with a study that came out, call it a week or so ago, published in the Wall Street Journal, about how index funds in general, and particularly stock index funds, don't beat their index. So the actively managed mutual fund world is losing to ETFs, and they're losing on a 1-, 3-, and 5-year basis. The problem with that headline is that it confuses investors, thinking that, oh, I can just do this. And there's a big difference between investing in index funds and just pure indexing. They sound alike. Hey, I'm indexing. I'm a pure indexer. Wait, I use index funds to be the same? No, you're not. Totally different. And that's the debate and the conversation that we need to have today and talk that through. I've also written for Clark Howard this week, 5 reasons I own dividend paying stocks. Clark said, hey, can you just do an article about dividend stocks? And I thought to myself, well, I feel like we've done that before, but it's one of these things where maybe just not something that simple. Well, what are the 5 reasons you own dividend paying stocks? Or what are the 3 reasons? Why do you do this? So that was another thing that we worked on this week, the Money Matters team. So we talked about that. In fact, I have 6 reasons I own dividend paying stocks. And that is also something we will talk about today. We'll discuss. And something I'm writing for the AJC as well. So these are all the things that we need to tackle today. I also want to take your phone calls and your questions. So we've had a couple of weeks that have been, we've had political topics get some of the airtime. We had an interview last week or part of last week, and today I want to make sure we can go to the phones and take your phone calls, because it's been a little while and we need to go back to the phones and we need to answer your questions, which is really the best part of Money Matters by far. So we're live here on this rainy Sunday morning in the studio, 404-872-0750. So if you're in the kitchen or in the car, and you're headed to church or headed from church or brunch or golf, I don't know if golf gets canceled today, or all practices. I know that all of our lacrosse practices in the family got canceled today because of the possibility of lightning and thunder today. Luke just rolled his eyes. I can't believe they canceled it. So as a parent, we'll obviously have to figure out what we're going to be doing inside today if it continues to thunder and lightning. Still remains to be seen. So the phone lines are open this Sunday morning. Ryan Ely sitting by to take your call and patch them through. And we'll answer your financial questions here. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. We are one of the few remaining stations in America and money shows in America that we actually take live calls and give you objective answers. And that's really the most interesting part because we don't know what's coming our way in any Sunday morning. And the questions we get, I thought many years ago they would start to get repetitive, and they just don't, because everyone has a different take on an almost endless suite of topics that you can ask about. So there are endless topics just about ETFs and mutual funds and the way that you combine those investments and annuities and bonds and CDs and all those things and how they work together and they manage your risk. So that's a giant topic that's almost endless in its own right. And then there are all the financial planning questions like pension. So maybe you have a pension option and you're like one of the 300 folks in Seattle this week or at Boeing that they're giving you 300 folks are saying, look, here is an early buyout. We want to give you $500,000 so that you don't take a pension of $3,000 a month. What's a better deal? What's the 6% test? I had a question this week through Facebook. Hey, Wes, when I'm doing my 6% test on the pension, do I apply that to the joint survivor benefit or do I look at it on the single life only payout? If that sounds like Greek, well, maybe it's time to figure it out. So we can certainly answer and walk through some of these financial planning questions too. So if you have a pension option, do you take the monthly payout that's an annuity type base, or do you take the lump sum and roll it into some sort of IRA? Do you maybe have a question about an ETF or a mutual fund? What are you buying? What are you thinking about buying? Maybe your advisor or broker is trying to get you to change something or buy something, and you're wondering if it's a good deal, if it's right for you, which is really the most important part of all of this. And maybe it's just about cash. Maybe you have cash sitting. Maybe you're wondering, hey, do I have too much cash just sitting around, and it's generating a quarter of a percent, and it's becoming frustrating. But I don't know if I want to get in the market because the market's high and the bond market's high. What do you do with that cash? It could be something to do with a 401k or a 403b or your TSP plan. Maybe you're a government employee and you've got these options that are confusing. And maybe there's target date funds inside, and those target date funds are also not doing as well as you thought they might do. Are you making a mistake doing that? And are you making a mistake with one of the pieces of the equation when it comes to your investments? Or maybe quite frankly, you're just thinking about, hey, what's the cost? I bought this annuity and this thing I'm locked into, and is it expensive? Is it a terrible deal? Do I need to get out of it? How do I get out of it? These are all the things that we love to talk about on Sunday mornings here on WSB Radio. So that's that. If you've tuned into Money Matters, I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 to have that conversation with you. And we're happy to answer those questions in the most objective fashion as humanly possible. And that's what we strive to do. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, just 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, before we go to the phones, Let's talk about dividends first, because I take this for granted sometimes. We talk about income investing. Income in general has been the theme of the show for many years. And sometimes we take some of these areas of the market for granted. And that's what we'll try to clear up some of the questions that we get about dividends. So as you know, I'm a big believer in dividend investing. So for folks who know that philosophy, they know that dividend paying stocks are way, way high on my list, at least, in assets to consider. And as far as I can tell, and what I want to talk about today, there's a lot of reasons to own to at least have this as part of what you own as an investor. The first item is that we have so little control in the world of investing and life just in general. And when it comes to investing, it's especially true that there's only so many things we're able to control. And we can't predict market highs. We can't predict market lows. Warren Buffett will tell you that. Peter Lynch will tell you that. Any investor will tell you that it's impossible to time the peaks and valleys of equity markets and or bond markets. Both of those very, and what are the three markets we follow? We follow the stock market, the bond market, and the commodity market. All three of those areas have a giant degree of irrationalism baked in or emotion baked in, which makes timing them from a value perspective very, very difficult. If you invest in dividend paying stocks, you can at least have some control over a big piece of the investment. And that control comes largely in the form of the cash flow that you receive. So the stock dividends that you receive from those companies that pay perennial dividends year after year after year. Now, of course, dividend payments can change. Companies can run into trouble. That happened to the banks, the big financial companies, and right as we went into the financial crisis, 2007 and 8, and companies that had paid dividends for decades had to slash their dividend. But for the most part, dividends are actually a very predictable piece of the overall equation. In fact, there are companies, and there are a lot of companies, actually, that have paid dividends for more than 100 years and going. Over a century, publicly traded companies that they're paying 100 years ago, they're still paying today. And there's obviously even more than that have paid for over 50 years. So it's not as though we can't find these companies. It's not as though they're disappearing into the wind. There's a lot to choose from. And there's plenty of companies that we can find that have paid steady dividends and, quite frankly, raised dividends just methodically over time without interruption. And here we are in a world of great uncertainty. Finding companies that are able to do this, these steady quarterly payouts, that helps me sleep a lot better at night. And that's one of the pieces of this equation, because dividends allow us to control one of the very few pieces in investing that we are able to control, which is a giant piece of the equation in a lot of ways. We are live here this rainy Sunday morning, or about to rainy Sunday morning, and we'll go to the phones, take your phone calls and questions. Today we're talking about the reasons we own dividend-paying stocks, or why I own dividend-paying stocks, the active-passive debate. I have examples of different ETFs I wanted to share today. So plenty to do today here on the docket. We're going to go quick news, weather, traffic, then back for more Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss with the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Tyrone joins us on the line. Tyrone from Decula. Tyrone, what's going on? How can I help?
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Thanks for the call. What's going on?
Okay. Well, I was telling Ryan, we recently traded our truck for a bigger diesel truck to pull a bigger camper in the future when we retire. And so we ended up doing a loan for the truck for $50,000. And but we have money in the bank that we could just pay it off. But I financed it for three years at 4.25% interest.
Well, that's so quick. That's good. That's quick. That's quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just trying to decide, do we pay it off with the cash we have, or do we just do the financing for the next 3 years? Because our target is to retire in 3 years anyway.
You know, this three quick things. The one, you've got this liquidity as you get to retirement is hard to come by, meaning that most folks have a lot of their money in IRA, 401k, retirement money. It gets taxed when you need to get to it. So I'm always hesitant to spend too much of your after-tax money too quickly. So that's number one. Remember the liquidity of that after-tax money. Two, you've got 4.25% is not a cheap, that there is a real cost to that. It's not a low rate, it's not high. But I would encourage you to not necessarily, don't lump sum pay this off, but I would double the payment. So double down on the payments, but don't just take the big lump sum and pay it off. You know what I really want to know is what are you pulling with the diesel truck in 5 seconds or less?
We're going to be pulling a fifth wheel camper that's about 35 feet long.
Gosh, I love that. Tyrone, thanks for the call. That's the number one happy retiree piece of equipment that goes behind a diesel truck is a fifth wheel. Travel the world. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We'll be back straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, a rainy Sunday morning. Rain to come. Let's call it today. Rain all day, high 69. That sounds like lots of rain. Tonight, mostly cloudy, few thunderstorms, low 53. Tomorrow, 60% chance of rain, high 68, low 55. Brought to you by Shoemate. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get going. And I think I felt like it took us a little bit to get going this morning, and we are fully in a groove. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We'll go to the phones here. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. We're talking about dividends, why I own them, why this is something that makes sense for at least my approach to investing, my philosophy. And remember, investing is very philosophical, is what makes you feel comfortable. We'll also talk about the active and passive debate, which centers around mutual funds and ETFs, and all of the confusion and the gray zone that goes between those two products and those two philosophies. So we are going to get to that. So there's a lot to talk about here on a Sunday morning. And again, phone lines are open. I'm going to go to the phones. The number here in the studio, give us a call with your questions. 404-872-0750. Again, it's 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I just got an email here this morning. Hey, Wes, listen to your show every Sunday, despite it being an awful radio show. Actually, I'm just kidding. Doesn't say that. Good morning. Listen to you every Sunday. Did I hear you say something about Vanguard Wellington as one of your favorite funds? I have some other money invested in that. Thinking of this fund, also the Star Fund. Yes, and the answer is the what's confusing about Wellington is that Wellington is one of my favorite funds at Vanguard. The only issue with it, it's been closed for some time now to new investors. Sometimes these mutual funds get so gigantic, and this is actually one of Vanguard's active funds. So you've got a mutual fund manager in there making decisions, buying and selling different stocks and bonds, and that's why I like it. It's an income-oriented balanced strategy, which is a lot like how I invest. So that's why this fund itself is pretty good. The issue with it, though, is that they get so big, it's hard for these mutual fund managers to go buy stocks without moving the market too much. And it gets cumbersome, almost like a dragon moving through the forest. It gets difficult to navigate when you get to be that massive, that size. You can obviously, I feel like so many of my analogies go back to children's stuff. We were watching Pete's the Dragon this morning. Is it Pete Magic Dragon or just Pete Regular Dragon, Luke? Just Pete the Dragon is what Pete the Dragon, which was on today. That's where my analogies just come from, I guess. So good morning. So again, if you have access to it, and it's a very popular fund inside 401k plan. So if it's in your 401k plan, you can still probably use it. Or if you already own it, you can still add to it. But if you're just a brand new investor, they're going to tell you that it's closed. Let's go to the phones here. Again, let's see. Ryan, where are we starting here on a Sunday morning for the phones? Okay, let's go first to Robert in Lilburn. Robert, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Wes. I have an inherited IRA, and I was wondering, what do you suggest I do? What do the rich, successful, wealthy people do with their RMDs? I know I have to take it out every year. I think it's ridiculous in a sense when you're trying to, you know, grow it over time, but that's just something that, you know, you have to do. Otherwise, you get penalized. So
I like the thought that you're saying, what are the rich, successful? That's who's listening to Money Matters, by the way. It's the rich, successful folks that are listening to Money Matters. In fact, Robert, whenever I get a call from somebody who's, let's say, in their 20s, I always think, you know, that caller is going to be rich one day if they're not already rich. There's something about having an eye on this part of the equation, the money side of the equation, which of course is not everything to life at all, but it's kind of an important part. So that's an aside. Now you're saying, how old are you, by the way?
48.
So you're 48 and you have an IRA that you have to take RMDs because it's an inherited IRA, not because you're 70 and a half.
Yeah, I was I was fortunate to receive this after my father passed away last year, and he left me this inherited IRA. It's a very well-diversified portfolio, and I have a couple of financial advisors that I'm working with, and I'm still have yet to call your office back because you said you wanted me to give you a call back. I spoke with you a little over a couple of months ago, and you said for me to call your office and speak with you more in depth about it, but I haven't had, you know, the chance to do that.
That's okay. So. Well, I'm still there. I'm still there every day. So the Robert, but I will say this though. What do most folks do with their RMDs? Well, I would say about half of the folks that I've worked with over the years use the required minimum distribution because that's the cash flow that they're starting to live on. And the math actually works out to some extent. It kind of works out because when I do retirement planning, a really safe number as a withdrawal rate is 3.5 to 4%. So if you're only taking 3.5 to 4% a year from your assets, you should be able to do that indefinitely. As long as you have a balanced portfolio that has fixed income and stocks, and it grows even a little bit over time. In fact, the agreed upon number in financial planning is 4.1 or 4.2% plus the increase of inflation, whatever inflation is every year. So that number goes up a little by little on your nest egg to account for the rising cost of goods. In this case, an RMD, if you're 70 and a half, is around 3.7% a year, which is close to that number. So that kind of, to some extent, works out. A lot of folks live on it. In your case, at age 48, because you have an inherited IRA, and the stretch IRA rule applies to you. So you're now taking this out over your life expectancy. So I would suspect your number, I don't have a chart in front of me, is probably what, 2.5 to 3% a year?
I believe so. And I think, you know, if I have to take it out, I'd probably take it out maybe two times a year, take a certain amount out like I did for next year, and take one half some of it out at one point of the year, and then at the end of the year, take another one like around your birthday or something like that. So
the other thought, like, Robert, though, with the other thought on these RMDs is that, and again, you'd ask, hey, what do the wealthy, successful folks do? Well, some people live on it, and others just say, look, I don't need it. So you don't even really have to think about it being uninvested. Now, yes, it has to come out, and you, they come out in cash, you put it in another account. In order to do that, the IRS basically gets a note that says, hey, Robert took out X amount from his inherited IRA, we're going to tax him on that. But it doesn't mean that you can't turn right around and reinvest it. So don't think of these RMDs as money that you have to pull out and spend if you don't need it. And I think that was your kind of original question. There's no rule that says you can't just reinvest it the very day it hits your account. So it goes from an IRA to an after-tax account, and boom, you can reinvest it that very day. And that's what the other half of folks do to answer your question. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. We're going to continue to go to the phones here. Let's go to John in Buford. John, what's going on, man? How can I help?
Well, I've just accumulated a lot of cash, and I don't know what to do with it. I have a wonderful pension I've been retired for 9 years. We've been able to save a couple $1,000s a month out of my pension, and I've invested it a lot. I still have earned income, and so we do the Roth every year.
So how old are you, John?
78.
And you're still working?
I have a very interesting side occupation.
Can we ask what it is?
I'm a musician.
Oh, well, that's a cool side profession. So you're still playing music?
Yes.
And you're still making money doing it?
Yes.
And so there's no reason to stop, and you're going to continue to do that. So you can still keep putting money into Roth, but you also have a pension.
Yes.
All right. So then the issue is that the issue here is you've got too much cash. And which obviously is a good problem to have, right?
Yeah.
You have plenty of income, another great problem to have. I hear a collective sigh of woe is me from all of our listeners for John here. He's a hip musician that's 78. He's still having fun earning money and too much money in cash. The question, though, John, what's the percentage of money in cash? If you were to look at your cash plus your investments and everything.
I've got 15% of it in cash.
Which I don't think is a crazy high amount. And whether you have 100,000 or a million or 5 million, to have 15% in cash, definitely on the high side. My rule of thumb is really 1 to 10%. So I think that 10% is about as much as you ever really need. So if you have $1 million, 100,000 in cash is plenty in cash. The 2 million, you've got 200,000 in cash. So in your case, 15, yeah, that's high, but it also isn't ridiculously high. I think it's a frustrating number to be in. I think the question, it's a frustrating asset class to be in because it's not doing anything. And you can have money sitting in any of these big banks or brokerage companies, whether it's Wells Fargo or Vanguard or Schwab or any of these big brokerage companies or Fidelity, and their money markets really don't pay a lot. And even though the Fed's been raising interest rates, money markets are still not passing that on to you. In fact, I think that's a big part of how a lot of these financial institutions expect to really generate profits over the next several years, is that that's a big part of their business. It went away when the Fed took interest rates to zero. Today, as that goes higher and higher, they make a comfortable spread on your money market money. Now, with that, I guess my question is, what's the reason long term, or who do you leave in this to? Do you have a bunch of kids? Do you have a charity? What's the goal? You don't really need the money. It doesn't sound like you can spend it. What's long term? What do you want to happen to this money?
Well, I want to go to my children and my grandchildren. My wife just died a month ago.
Oh God, I'm sorry. My God.
And I am having to rearrange things. I haven't done it yet, but I'm in the process of getting there. I help grandchildren with college. I'm not paying the full amount, but we had 529 plans, and so we've been able to help that. When I said I have cash, I mean just in a money market. I've also got about $50,000 in CDs, and that's cash too.
So John, here's my thought, is that part of helping you solve this is for, and I know you're going through a lot because your wife just passed away, so there's obviously no rush to do any of this, but I think that as you start to wrap your arms around all of this, I want you to think about the family and your kids and your grandkids as, you know, all the money that you've accumulated over all these years, it's really, ultimately, it's going to them. So the money, and particularly in your case, because you already have a pension and it's already bringing in more than you need. So really, the money doesn't have your time horizon in your life anymore.
Yes.
It's really their time horizon. So it's, if your kids are in their 40s and 50s or 60s, and then your grandkids are 20s, 30s, this money has a giant time horizon. And in that, I want you to start thinking about, well, hey, if you were 30 again, John, or you were 40, how would you be investing? And the answer would probably be more significantly or heavier in the stock side or the equity side of the market. And that, I think, is where that cash goes. You don't have to invest all of it, but 5 or 10% of the 15 or 2/3 of that 15 could easily go back into dividend paying stocks. I'm going to talk more about why I like dividend paying stocks, John, as an example, as we go through the next hour and a half of the show. So stay tuned. John, thank you for your call. Hopefully that helped. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Those emails come straight to me. Stay tuned for more Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here for Sunday morning, 9 to 11. We'll go back to the phones here, 404-872-0750. Steve joins us on the line. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can I help?
Hey, Wes. I had a question for you. I appreciate your taking this call. You were just speaking with someone, a caller, who was talking about having money in money market accounts and so forth. And I've been in Vanguard for a while, and I have a range of things in there. And my question, I guess, was this: in the VMS XX account, which is the Vanguard Municipal Money Market, I believe it's a tax-free account.
Yeah, the yield is something like about 0.75.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the yield is. I was mainly interested in getting away from paying taxes on it, because years ago when I was in there and I had a bunch of cash in there, you know, I get a pretty big tax hit at the end of the year. So
I'll tell you what, Steve, hang on one sec, please. Let's go to quick news weather traffic. And this is an important question. Money market, there's billions of dollars sitting in money market doing nothing.
Right.
And let's talk about the expense on that. So hang on just a second here. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.